Paramahansa, Paravatacharya, or Sotera Satashi, Shimad. His divine grace, Abhaya Chananada Vatavananda Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrindi Kijai, Namacharya Srila Hridas Thakur Kijai, Param Sei Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Garadha Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopikabhanath Shai Mukund Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Kijai Maturidam Kijai Jagadadasami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindagijai Gol Primananda Hari Hari Gol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shilabhavad Gijai Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Pasjacha Deja Tarani. So, Homagana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, welcome to the evening Chaitanya Charitamrita class. And let's see, we're talking about the branches of Lord Nityananda's tree. Okay? Weak audio. Does anyone else think it's weak audio? Does anyone want stronger audio? No. Everybody else said it's all right. It's good. For everybody else, it's good. It's fine. It's wonderful. Okay. So, because if I turn up the audio, then some people will complain it's too loud. That's why I turned it down a little bit. Okay. And it's self-adjusting after a while anyway. Let me just look at this for a second. Audio settings. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay. Now I got more comments. All right. Anyway, better get to class. Okay. So, let us go. I mean, I could always wear a headset mic, but I think this is better for everybody. Let's put that here. All right, that's better. Okay. So, let us go to share the screen. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, I'm going to share the screen. And away we go to share the screen. Okay. Beginning with the 12th verse today, let me just. Okay. All right. Give me 1 second. Here we go. I got one more adjustment here. Here we go, text 12. Savita Vajra Goshanira Lahinu Sharana Yanhara Prasate Hoya Avishta Purana. I therefore take shelter in the lotus feet of Virabhadra Goshani, so that by his mercy, my great desire to write Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita will be properly guided. So therefore, for those of you who don't remember, Virabhadra Goswami is the son of Lord Nityananda and Vasudha, one of Lord Nityananda's wives. Vasudha and Janava are the two wives of Lord Nityananda, and he was raised by Janava. Sri Ramadasara Gadadara Dasa Chaitanya Goswami Rabhakta Rahi Tanra Pasha. Two devotees of Lord Chaitanya named Sri Ramdas and Gadadhar Das always live with Sri Virabhadra Goswami. Purport, Sri Ramdas, later known as Abhirama Thakur, was one of the 12 gopals or coward boyfriends of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika, 126 states that Sri Ramdas was formerly Sri Dama, as one of Krishna's friends. in the Bhakti Ratnakara, and also Sridhara was the brother of Radharani. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, fourth wave, there's a description of Sri Abhirama Thakur by the order of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Abhirama Thakur became a great acharya and preacher of the Chaitanya cult of devotional service. He was a very influential personality, and non-devotees were very much afraid of him. Empowered by Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he was always in ecstasy and was extremely kind to all fallen souls. It is said that if you offered obeisances to any stone other than a Shalagram Shila, it would immediately fracture. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in Anubhasha, 10 miles southwest of the Chanpa Dunga railway station on the narrow gauge railway line from Howrah in Calcutta to Amtar, a village in the Hooghly district. There is a small town named Kanaka Kula Krishna Nagara, where the temple in which Abhirama Thakur is worshipped is situated. During the rainy season, when this area is inundated with water, people must go there by another line, which is now called the Southeastern Railway. On this line, there's a station named Kolakata, from which one has to go by steamer to Ranichaka. 7.5 miles north of Ranichaka is Kanakula. The temple where Abhirama Thakur worshipped is situated in Krishna Nagar, which is near the Kula bank of the Kana, Dwarakeshwara River, and therefore this place is celebrated as Kanakula Krishna Nagara. Outside of the temple is a Bakula tree. This place is known as Siddha Bakula Kunja. It is said that when Abhiram Thakur came there, he sat down under this tree. In Kanakula Krishna Nagar, there is a big fair held every year in the month of Chaitra, March, April, on the Krishna Saptami, the seventh day of the dark moon. Many hundreds and thousands of people gather for this festival. The temple where Abhirama Thakur worshipped has a very old history. The deity in the temple is known as Gopinath. There are many Sevite families, that means people who serve, living near the temple. It is said that Abhiram Thakur had a whip and that whoever he touched with it would immediately become an elevated devotee of Krishna. Among his many disciples, Sriman Srinivas Acharya was the most famous and the most dear, but it is doubtful that he was his initiated disciple. In fact, he wasn't his initiated disciple, but he got whipped by Abhirama Gopal Thakur. And what happened, and I told the story previously in the last chapter, that when Srinivas Acharya got whipped once or twice, Abhirama Thakur's wife said, I think his wife's name was Malini, don't hit him again. And if you hit him again with the whip, he'll become too ecstatic to be able to preach. I think that whip is still there today. So if you go to Kanakula Krishna Nagar, then you can get whipped by the whip of Abhirama Thakur. Wow. But then you may not be able to maintain or contain your ecstasy. So you won't be able to serve Krishna, so don't do it. Nityanande agnadila yabe gada yaite mahaprabhu edvitila tanra sate ataiva dvijane dunhara gandana madhava vasudeva gushera evivarana. When Nityananda Prabhu was ordered to go to Bengal to preach, these two devotees, Sri Ramadas and Gadadhar Das, were ordered to go with him. Thus, they are sometimes counted among the devotees of Lord Chaitanya and sometimes among the devotees of Lord Nityananda. That's why we read about them in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree. Similarly, Madhava Ghosh and Vasudeva Ghosh belong to both groups of devotees simultaneously. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasha, there's a place named Danihata near the Agradvipa railway station at Patula in the district of Burdwan, where the deity of Sri Gopinathaji is still situated. This deity accepted Govinda Ghosha as his father. Even until today, the deity performs the Shraddha ceremony on the anniversary of the death of Govinda Ghosha. The temple of this deity is managed by the Rajavamsa family of Krishna Nagara, whose members are descendants of Raja Krishnachandra. Every year in the month of Vaishakha, when there is a Bharadola ceremony, this Gopinatha deity is taken to Krishnanagar. The ceremony is performed with 11 other deities, and then Sri Gopinathaji is brought back to the temple in Agradvipa. Ramadasa Mukyashaka Sakya Prema Rashi Shola Sangera Kashtahye Tuli Kaila Vamshi. Ramadas, one of the chief branches, was full of fraternal love of God, and he made a flute from a stick with 16 knots. Gadadharadas Gopi Babe Purnananda Yanragari Danakeli Kaila Nichananda. Sri Gadadhar Das was always fully absorbed in ecstasy as a gopi. In his house, Lord Nichananda enacted the drama Danakeli. That is a tax pastime. Not the tax pastime of Lord Chaitanya taking taxes, but the tax pastime of Krishna and the coward boys extracting taxes from gopis. And there's a wonderful story in Govardhan about this. Once upon a time, the gopis, they were headed to Govindakund with their milk products to help the Brahmanas in a sacrifice. And Krishna stood there right near this place called Dhananivartana Kund. That means there's a kund or a lake there. Right near Dangati. So Krishna's, Dangati means a path over to Govardhan Hill. So Krishna stood there and said, you got to pay the taxes, I'm the tax collector. And there were all sorts of arguments between Krishna and the gopis, and Krishna eventually started to want more and more taxes. He was fining Srimati Radharani for having so much beauty in her transcendental body. He said, for your beautiful nose, you should pay so much. For your beautiful ears, you should pay so much. For your beautiful, whatever part of her transcendental body was there, he was trying to extract taxes. I mean, like millions of dollars worth of taxes. Gopis got very angry. There had to be some mediation that Purnamasi came, mediated, and said the gopis would come back the next day and pay the taxes. Next day, the gopis came back, 10 million gopis or 20 million gopis or wherever, many gopis. They overpowered the coward boys and Krishna and tied them to trees and threatened them with sticks. So that's a tax pastime. So another point about Gadadhar Das. Actually, we told the story about Gadadhar Das and the Kazi already. So Sri Madhava Ghosh Mukya Kirtaniya Gane Nichananda Prabhu Nritya Kariyan Ragane. Sri Madhava Ghosh was a principal performer of kirtan. While he sang, Nichananda Prabhu danced. Vasudeva Gite Kare Prabhu Ravarnane Kasta Pashana Drave Yahara Shavane. When Vasudeva Ghosh described Lord Chaitanya and Nichananda while performing kirtan, even wood and stone would melt upon hearing it. Murari Chaitanya Dasera Olokika Lila Vyagragale Chadamare Sarpasane Kela. There were many extraordinary activities performed by Murari, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes in his ecstasy he would slap the cheek of a tiger, and sometimes he would play with a venomous snake. Ooh. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasha that Murari Chaitanya Das was born in the village of Saravrindavanapura, which is situated about 2 miles from the Galashi station on the Bordwan line. When Murari Chaitanya Das came to Navadvip, he settled in the village of Modadruma, or Mamagachi Grama. At that time, he became known as Shanga or Shanga Murari Chaitanya Das. The descendants of his family still reside in Sarapada. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat Anjikanda, chapter 5, there's the following statement. Murari Chaitanya Das had no material bodily features, for he was completely spiritual. Thus, he would sometimes chase after tigers in the jungle and treat them like cats and dogs. He would slap, slap the cheek of a tiger and take a venomous snake on his lap. He had no fear for his external body, of which he was completely forgetful. He would spend all 24 hours of the day chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or speaking about Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Sometimes he would remain submerged in water for 2 or 3 days, but he would feel no bodily inconvenience. Thus he behaved almost like stone or wood, but he always used his energy in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. No one can describe his specific characteristics, but it is understood that wherever Murari Chaitanya Das passed, whoever was present would be enlightened in Krishna consciousness simply by the atmosphere he created. It's amazing. Let me just write something down. Okay, anyway, I'll remember. By Lord Chaitanya's grace. Okay. Next verse. Nityananda gana yatta sabhavraja sakha shringavitra gopavesha shire shiki paka. All the associates of Lord Nityananda were formerly cowherd boys in Brajabhumi. Their symbolic representations were the horns and sticks they carry, their cowherd dress, and the peacock plumes on their heads. Janava Mata is also within the list of Lord Nityananda's followers. She is described in the Gora Ganadesh Deepika 66 as a Nanga Manjari of Vrindavana. All the devotees who are followers of Janava Mata are counted within the list of Sri Nityananda Prabhu's devotees. So there's a beautiful temple in Radhakund, Radha Gopinath temple, which is actually connected very closely with the Samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami. And there's deities of Janava Mata, who was Nanga Manjari, Krishna and Radharani. And the story is that Janava Mata was visiting Radhakund and Raghunath Das, making sure that she was all right, taking care of her. And Janava Mata looked at the deities of Radha Gopinath and thought, Radharani with Gopinath, she's actually too small. Let me order another Radharani deity. So she ordered another Radharani deity. And by the time that deity arrived, she wasn't there anymore. The devotees looked at that new Radharani deity and they said, wow, that deity looks like Janava Mata. So they installed that deity to Krishna's right, and that deity is understood to be Janava Mata or Nanga Manjari, who is Krishna's cousin. Nanga Manjari is Krishna's cousin. And Nanga Manjari or Janava Mata has a special bathing place at Radhakund that was constructed or at least organized by Raghunath Das Goswami and Jiva Goswami. So Raghunatha Vaija Upadhyaya Mahashaya Yanhara Darshane Krishna Prema Bhakti Hoya. The physician, Raghunatha, also known as Upadhyaya, was so great a devotee that simply by seeing him, one would awaken one's dormant love of Godhead. That reminds me of meeting Prabhupada. Simply by seeing Prabhupada, one's love of God was awakened. Sundarananda Nityanantara Shaka Vrichamarma Yanra Sange Nityananda Kari Vrajanarma. Sundarananda, another branch of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, was Lord Nityananda's most intimate servant. Lord Nityananda Prabhu received the life of Brajabhumi in his company. Wow. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasha, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anchakanda, chapter 5, it is stated that Sundarananda was an ocean of love of Godhead and the chief associate of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In the Gora Ganadesh Deepika 127, he is stated to have been Sudama in Krishna Lila. Thus, he was one of the 12 coward boys who came down with Balaram when he descended as Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The holy place where Sundarananda lived is situated in the village known as Mahishapura. which is about 14 miles east of the Majadahonda railway station of the Eastern Railway from Calcutta to Burdwan. This place is within the district of Jeshore, which is now in Bangladesh. Amongst the relics of this village, only the residential house of Sundarananda still exists. At the end of the village resides a Bola, pseudo-Vaishnava, and all the buildings, both the temples and the house, appear to be newly constructed. In Maheshapura, there are deities of Sri Radhavallabha and Sri Sri Radharaman. Near the temple is a small river of the name Vitravati. Sundarananda Prabhu was a brahmachari. He never married in his life. Therefore, he had no direct descendants except his disciples, but the descendants of his family still reside in the village known as Mangaladithi, in the district of Birbhum. In that same village is a temple of Balaram, and the deity there is regularly worshipped. The original deity of Maheshapura, Radhavallabha, was taken by the Saidabad Goswamis of Burhampur, and since the present deities were installed, a Zaminder family of Maheshapura has looked after their worship. On the full moon day of the month of Magha, January, February, the anniversary of Sundarananda's disappearance is regularly celebrated, and people from the neighboring areas gather together to observe this festival. All right. Kamalakara pipalai alokika rita alokika prema tanna bhuvane vidita. Kamalakara pipalai is said to have been the third Gopal. His behavior and love of Godhead were uncommon, and thus he is celebrated all over the world. Wow. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in Zanavasha in the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika 128. Kamalakara Pipalai is described as the third Gopal. His former name was Mahabala. The Jagannath deity at Mahesha in Sri Ramapura was installed by Kamalakara Pipalai. This village of Mahesha is situated about 2.5 miles from the Sri Ramapura railway station. The genealogy of the family of Kamalakara Pipalai is given as follows. Kamalakara Pipalai had a son named Chaturbhuja, who had two sons named Narayana and Jagannatha. Narayana had one son named Jagadananda, and his son's name was Rajiva Lochana. During the time of Rajiva Lochana, there was a scarcity of finances for the worship of the Jagannath deity, and it is said that the Nawab of Dhaka, whose name was Shah Suja, donated one...
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Okay, let's see. There's a problem here. We just... let's see.
Hare Krishna. All right, let's go back. How about now? Is the sound okay now? Okay. It's this computer. I definitely have to do something about this computer. It's really driving me bananas. Anyway. Okay, let's continue. There was a scarcity of finances for the worship of the Jagannath deity, and it is said that the Nawab of Dhaka, whose name was Shah Suja, donated 1,108 figures of land, about 395 acres, in the Bengali year 1060. That's the year of our Lord, 1653. The land being the possession of Jagannath, the village was named Jagannathapura. It is said that Kamalakara Pipalai left home. His younger brother, Nidhi Pipalai, searched for him, and in due course of time, found him in the village of Mahesha. Nidhi Pipalai tried his best to bring his elder brother home, but he would not return. Under these circumstances, Nidhi Pipalai, with all his family members, came to Mahesha to reside. The members of this family still reside in the vicinity of the Mahesha village. Their family name is Adhikara, and they are Adhikari, and they are Brahmana family. The history of the Jagannath temple in Mahesha is as follows. One devotee of the name Dhruvananda went to see Lord Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra at Jagannath Puri, wanting to offer food to Jagannathji that he had cooked with his own hands. This being his desire, one night Jagannathji appeared to him in a dream and asked him to go to Mahesha on the bank of the Ganges and there start worship of him in a temple. Thus, Dhruvananda went to Mahesha, where he saw the three deities, Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra, floating in the Ganges. He picked up all those deities and installed them in a small cottage, and with great satisfaction, he executed the worship of Lord Jagannath. When he became old, he was very anxious to hand over the worship to the charge of someone reliable, and in a dream, he got permission from Jagannath Prabhu to hand it over to a person whom he would meet the next morning. The next morning, he met Kamalakara Pipalai, who was formerly an inhabitant of the village Kalgijuli in the Sundarbana forest area of Bengal, and was a pure Vaishnava, a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. Thus, he immediately gave him charge of the worship. In this way, Kamalakara Pipalai became the worshiper of Lord Jagannath, and since then, his family members have been designated as Adhikari, which means one who is empowered to worship the Lord. These Adhikaris belong to a respectable Brahmin family. The surname Pipalai is recognized as designating one of the 55 types of upper class Brahmanas. Sorry, I have to turn that off. People keep sending messages at the wrong time. Just give me 1 second. Okay. Text 25, Surya Dasa Sarakela Tandarbhai Krishna Das Nichanande Dravishvasa Primera Nivasa Surya Dasa Sarakela and his younger brother Krishna Dasa Sarakela both possessed firm faith in Nichananda Prabhu. They were a reservoir of love of Godhead. In the Bhakti Ratnakara 12th wave, it is stated that a few miles from Navadvipa was a place called Shaligrama, which was the residence of Suryadas Sarakela. He was employed as a secretary in the Muslim government of that time, and thus he amassed a fortune. Suryadas had four brothers, all of whom were pure Vaishnavas. Vasudha and Janava were two daughters of Suryadas Sarakela. So in other words, those are the two wives of Lord Nityananda. Amazing. Goridasa Pandit Janra Premodanda Bhakti Krishna Prema Dite Nite Dari Mahashati. Goridasa Pandit, the emblem of the most elevated devotional service and love of God, had the greatest potency to receive and deliver such love. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in Zanavasha, it is said that Goridasa Pandit was always patronized by King Krishnadasa, the son of Harihoda. Goridasa Pandit lived in the village of Shaligrama, which is situated a few miles from the railway station, Mudagacha, and later he came to reside in Ambikakalna. It is stated in the Gaura Ganadesh Dipika that formerly he was Subal, one of the coward boyfriends of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. Wow. Goridasa Pandit was the younger brother of Suryadasa Sarakela. And with permission of his elder brother, he shifted his residence to the bank of the Ganges, living there in the town known as Ambika Kalana. Some of the names of the descendants of Gauri Das the Pandit are as follows. Sri Nrisingha Chaitanya, Krishna Dasa, Vishnu Dasa, Balada, Balorama, Govinda Raghunatha, Bharaganga Dasa, Odia Gangarama, Yadavacharya, Hridaya Chaitanya, Chanda Haladara, Mahesha Pandit, Mukuta Raya, Bhaktuya Gangarama, Oliya Chaitanya, Kaliya Krishna Dasa, Patuya Gopala, Bhara Jagannath, Nityananda, Bhavi, Jagadisha, Raya, Krishnadasa, and Annapurna. The eldest son of Gauri Das Pandit was known as Big Balaram, and the youngest was known as Raghunath. The sons of Raghunath were Mahesh Pandit and Govinda. Gauri Das Pandit's daughter is known as Annapurna. The village, Ambika Bakalana, which is situated just across the river Ganges from Shantipur, is 2 miles east of the Kalana Kota railway station on the Eastern Railway. In the Ambika Kalana, there is a temple constructed by the Zamindar, that means landholder, a Burdwan. In front of the temple, there's a big tamarind tree, and it is said that Gauri Das Pandit and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met underneath this tree. The place where the temple is situated is known as Ambika, and it is because it is in the area of Kalana. The village is known as Ambika Kalana. It is said that a copy of the Bhagavad Gita written by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still exists in this temple. So Gauri Das Pandit, anyways, it's an interesting story about Gauri Das Pandit. Let me tell it right now, if we have time. Yeah, we have time. So Gauri Das Pandit, he had a disciple, many disciples. And he first named his disciple, this particular disciple, Hridayananda, which means one who has a blissful heart. So this Gauri Das Pandit, he used to worship deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, but these were very special deities, because these deities were carved as Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda basically posed for them. Oh my God. So what happened is that once upon a time, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were visiting Gauri Das Pandit. And Gauri Das Pandit said, "You are not leaving me." And Lord Chaitanya made a deal. Okay, you can have deities of me and Lord Nityananda. And so there were deities made of Gornatai for Gauri Das Pandit to worship. So he was worshiping these deities. One time, he had to go somewhere, and he said to his chief disciple, Hridayananda, "You should worship the deities, take care of everything while I'm gone." So while he was gone, it came time for a very important celebration. That is Gaur Purnima, the celebration of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Hridayananda, he sent out invitations to everybody, you know, come to the temple, you know, we're having a big party, a big celebration. Okay, meantime, his guru comes back, Gauri Das Pandit comes back. And Gauri Das Pandit, he finds out his disciple had done something without his permission. And he gets very angry. He says, "Just get out of here. Don't want to see you right now." Okay. Yes, Guru Maharaj. So when Hridayananda left, and what happened is that when he left, the deities were feeling so bad that his guru had chastised him. And they loved this Hridayananda so much that he followed Hridayananda, they followed Hridayananda out of the temple. So then Gauri Das Pandit, the guru, he goes to the temple at time for greeting the deities, going to Madhipurusham, Tamaham Bhajami. They open the curtains, and there's no deities there. He says, "Oh my God, what happened with my deities?" So he grabs a stick to beat his disciple, or maybe even beat the deities. And he runs, and he finds his disciple with the deities, you know, and they're dancing or whatever. And he runs after the deities. The deities jump into the heart of Hridayananda. Oh, my God. They jump into his heart to escape from Gauridas Panda so they don't get beaten. And so, therefore, Hridayananda's name gets changed to Hriday Chaitanya, who you read about previously in this chapter, this previous verse, Hriday Chaitanya. So, you know, it's one thing to have a guru with a temper, but, you know, it's okay if he's Subal, you know, on the platform of devotional service. And then what happens is that Hriday Chaitanya, following in the footsteps of his guru, has a little bit of anger pastimes too, because Hriday Chaitanya has as his disciple another devotee named Duki Krishnadas. And then he sends his disciple Duki Krishnadas. See if we have time. Yeah, we have time for this. He sends Duki Krishnadas to Vrindavan to be educated by Srila Jiva Goswami. Great. But while Duki Krishnadas is there in Vrindavan, he's cleansing this kunja, the place of Radha and Krishna. And he discovers an anklet left by Srimati Radharani. And to make a long story short, Srimati Radharani and Lalita Devi change his name to Shyamananda and give him different tilak. Oh my God. And so his guru, who is Vijay Chaitanya, who was previously Hridayananda, who was initiated by Gauridas Pandit, hears about this and he sends some people to figure out what's happening because, you know, his guru is all the way in Bengal and he is in Vrindavan. So they go like that and they say that, what happened? And we find that Shyamananda, who was previously Duki Krishnadas, says to them that in a dream he got this new name in Tilak from his guru. They go back to the guru all the way across India and tell the guru, Hriday Chaitanya, this is what your disciple said. Hriday Chaitanya says, this is nonsense. I was never a dream like that. He comes and he accosts his disciple. He says, how did you do this? This is improper. You've actually taken reinitiation, which is improper, from Jiva Goswami. He even accuses Jiva Goswami of something improper, which is not true. And Jiva Goswami is really the only one that knows about this whole deal, you know, this whole secret thing that happened at the Kunja to Shyamananda. So what happens is that there's several tests. Hriday Chaitanya says, I'm going to write the name Shyamananda on your chest. I'm going to wipe it off, and then we'll see if it remains there. Okay. So then Hriday Chaitanya takes shelter in a spiritual form of Radha and Lalita, and they say, don't worry about it. And then Hriday Chaitanya wipes it off, and then it appears again. They wipe it off, and it appears again. It wipes off, and appears again. He says, okay, let me think about this a little bit. Then he has a dream. No, he doesn't have a dream, not yet. And then he comes back a few days later and goes to his disciple, Shyamananda, and basically beats him. And then he has a dream, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reveals to him that, Lord Nityananda, you've beaten us, you know, by doing this. You're very cruel. And he gets chastised, and ultimately he apologizes to his disciple, and they live happily ever after. And his disciple is named Shyamananda, who was actually a very important person who preached all over Orissa the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one of the great acharyas, friend of Narottama Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya. So that's a brief story. There's more details in that story about Hriday Chaitanya, Gauridas Pandit, and Shyamananda, who was previously Duki Krishnadas. Need another verse or two. Nityananda samarpila jatikula panti Sri Chaitanya Nityananda kari pranapati. making Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda the lords of his life, Gauridas Pandit sacrificed everything for the service of Lord Nityananda, even the fellowship of his own family. Nityananda Prabhura Priya Pandita Purandara Premar Nava Maje Pire Yaichana Mandara. The 13th important devotee of Sri Nityananda Prabhu was Pandita Purandara, who moved in the ocean of love of God, just like beam under a hill. Pandita Purandara met Sri Nityananda Prabhu at Kadadaha. When Nityananda Prabhu visited this village, he danced very uncommonly, and his dancing captivated Purandara Pandita. The Pandita was in the top of a tree. Upon seeing the dancing of Nityananda, he jumped down on the ground and proclaimed himself to be Angada, one of the devotees in the camp of Hanuman during the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. So Angada was actually the son of Bali. Bali was the brother of Sugriva, and Lord Ramchandra had killed Bali, the monkey. This is not Bali Maharaj, it's a different Bali. Bali was the son of Indra, one of the demigods. And anyway, Angada was his son. Interesting. So obviously that's his ontological position. As Parameshwar Das Nityanandai Kasharana Krishna Bhakti Paya Tanreye Kare Smarana. Parameshwar Das, said to be the fifth Gopal of Krishna Leela, completely surrendered to the lotus feet of Nityananda. Anyone who remembers his name, Parameshwar Das, will get love of Krishna very easily. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasha, the Chaitanya Bhagavat states that Parameshwar Das, sometimes known, or known sometimes as Parameshwari Dasa, was the life and soul of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. The body of Parameshwar Das was the place of Lord Nityananda's pastimes. Parameshwar Dasa, who lived for some time at Kadadaha village, was always filled with the ecstasy of a coward boy. Formerly, he was Arjuna, a friend of Krishna and Balaram. That's a different Arjuna than the Pandavas. He was the fifth among the 12 Gopalas. He accompanied Srimati Janava Devi when she performed the festival at Kekuri. It is stated in the Bhakti Ratnakara that by the order of Srimati Janava Mata, he installed Radha Gopinath in the temple of Attapura in the district of Hooghly. The Attapura station is on the narrow gauge railway line between Howrah and Amutah. Another temple in Attapura, established by the Mitra family, is known as the Radha Govinda Temple. In front of the temple is a very attractive place among two Bakula trees and a Kadamba tree, is the tomb of Parameshwari Thakur, and above it is an altar with a Tulasi bush. It is said that only one flower a year comes out from the Kadamba tree. It is offered to the deity. Parameshwari Thakur belonged, it is said, to a Vaidya family. A descendant of his brothers is at present a worshiper in the temple. Some of their family members still reside in the district of Hooghly near the post office of Chandi Tala. The descendants of Parameshwari Thakur took many disciples from Brahmin families, but as these descendants gradually took to the profession of physicians, persons from the Brahmana family ceased becoming their disciples. The family titles of Parameshwari's descendants of Adhikari and Gupta. Unfortunately, his family members do not worship the deity directly. They have engaged paid Brahmins to worship the deity. In the temple, Baladev and Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are together on the throne. It is supposed that the deity of Baladev was installed later because, according to transcendental Bala, Baladev, Krishna, and Radha cannot stay on the same throne. We've spoken about this before. On the full moon day of Vaishakha, April, May, the disappearance festival of Parameshwari Thakur is observed in this temple. So we'll end here, and we will take some questions, comments, and what have you from all of you. Let us allow you to unmute. Okay, so who has some questions?
Gurudev?
Yes.
So throughout these descriptions, Srila Prabhupada gives very specific directions on how to get to many of these places, especially in Bengal. So is that an indication that he wants us to visit some of these temples and historic landmarks?
Not Not necessarily. I mean, of course, it's nice if you go and visit, but if you went and visit all of them, many of them are actually in Bangladesh. It would be nice. And also, we should understand that these particular statements by Prabhupada, many of which are coming from the commentary by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, many of these places may not even be extant. In other words, present right now. So when I first read this, what this did was really reinforce my faith in these particular devotees and pastimes. Because when you could find a direct description of where someone lived and what they did at that particular place, it really brings it down, I hate to use the expression, down to earth. It makes it more solid in your mind as far as their existence. You know, many times people talk about, not in reference so much to our philosophy or our beliefs, but in reference to, let's say, Christianity. Some people even question whether there was someone like Jesus Christ. I mean, even people sometimes question whether there was someone named William Shakespeare. People say, well, it was a group of different people who took that pen name. So when you have this definitive information of where they live, which railway line, which descendants they have, it really is, I would say, it makes the devotee's faith stronger to hear that. I would say that's the main reason that those descriptions are there. Because basically, you know, even talking about other religions, you hear about, you know, someone did this or someone did that, but there's no specific information of where it is today. But with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, there's really specific. You can go to that same temple, the same exact place where it was. And I don't think you find, well, I mean, with Muhammad, you find certain things like that too. But not with such specific descriptions of each and every individual, what they did, what they wrote, and biographical information, you know, hundreds and hundreds of books written about them or written by them. I mean, we have much more information, even with Srila Prabhupada's books, than any other religion on the face of the earth. For example, there's this place in Calcutta, BRC, Bhaktivedanta Research Center, that has been acquiring these literally millions of literatures, not only books, but articles by our past acharyas. Here's Jai Radhika said exactly what I said. Devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, why putting so much details in dress? And Prabhupada said, otherwise people won't take the pastime seriously. Exactly what I said, to reinforce the faith. When we actually hear about these places. I mean, it's not that you have to go visit. You wouldn't have any time to preach Krishna consciousness. Better you help us here in North Carolina. So and the winter is very short anyway. Well, Gopal didn't like that one. That is hilarious. So getting back to the point is, the reason is, yes, to help us see that these are real places. It's not just hagiography. You know, some invented stories by some people. You can actually go see the deities. You can see Gauridas Pandit's deities. You can see Abhiram Gopal's whip and get whipped by it. So that really keeps your faith strong. Okay? Hope that answers that question.
So, thank you.
And one day they will visit your home, Gopal, and say, that's where Gopal used to live. I will take them on a tour. And we go to the Gopal Mandala Parikrama. So, all right. Krishnapriya Devi Dasi has a question. Why don't you unmute yourself?
I did. I just had like a reflection on what you were speaking with Gopal, and I'm very much in agreement, because my own experience has also been like, when I read Prabhupada's books and the CC especially, and he'd give all these different you know, exactly where something is and speak about, and the deity's there. Like for me, it was actually like hearing about it through Prabhupada, and like you said, it came from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.Gaur, that they're actually taking us there. Because like you've always stressed that so much is through sound vibrations. So when we hear the Chaitanya Charitamrita and we hear about these personalities and we hear about these places, where if we actually absorb in it, it's such, we're on one level, we're getting the mercy of being able to go and to worship there, even from here. So I was just appreciating your answer.
Yeah, that's actually the point. It reinforces our faith. Another thing is, if you want to see these places, in many cases, you can actually Google them now, because devotees have actually taken pictures of these places. So you can, I've been in Burdwan on many of these places, actually, I visited. And so just Google it, and you can actually see some of the places. And some of the places, of course, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but not many places. But many places, they're available online. So you can actually do a whole tour just using our old friend Google. Okay, hey, Vrin Govind, I've been missing you. You have a question? Oh, you're still muted.
Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada.
All glories to Prabhupada. So,
I have a little story to tell about Paramesiri Das. Maybe you already know it.
Yeah, but why don't you tell the story?
I went there with Jayapataka Maharaj long time back, maybe 79 or 80. He was kind of a free man, not too many disciples, so we used to travel a lot in Bengal. And we went to this Maheshpur. ISKCON Calcutta is the second biggest Ratha Jatra in India after Jagannath Puri. But Maheshpur almost like competes. Sometimes they take over the second place. That still today is big Ratha Jatra.
Wow.
That's why Parameshwari Das plays. So one time, Parameshwari Das, while he was carrying the order of Mother Janava, and he rested there night in Durbananda Prabhu's house, and they had a kirtan whole night. And there was some atheist who did not like this kirtan. So they were like kind of trying to disturb, but they don't know how to disturb this. So while they are roaming around, they found a dead fox. A fox just died day or before. So they didn't know what they should do. So they wanted to disrupt the Sankirtan. So they somehow or other grabbed the dead fox, four of them, and just took it all the way. And you know, in Bengal, they do kirtan like a kind of a, like a circumambulating, like it goes round in a circle. And they dance in a particular pattern, like Manipuri kind of. So they had an audacity to put the dead fox right in the middle and left, ran away. They thought this will disturb and everybody will stop. Well, kirtan went even more, and Paramesiri Das had his eyes closed. When he opened his eyes, he saw dead fox, and he says, "Why, fox, you are dead, you should dance and start singing, chanting." And I don't know how mystically the soul entered back in the fox body, and the fox started chanting and dancing. And seeing these people got so mystically afraid, then the fox started going around and chasing those people, those atheists. And they attacked. They literally, that dog attacked them. And one of them died, and two of them came and surrendered to Paramesiri Das.
That's very nice.
Now I have a question, Maharaj.
Yeah, what's your question?
Question is, I'm a little advantage taker. I was hearing your wonderful explanation on the weeping joy mangal of Abhiram Thakur.
Yeah.
Weeper. I always thought the spiritual growth, spiritual maturity is intentional. It requires commitment and effort to grow. Mm-hmm. But it seems like if I get a whip, why do I have to get up for Mangalarti for 40 years and chant 60 nouns? Just one whip will be enough, Maharaj. Isn't like automatic?
Well, if you're whipped, then you want to get up for Mangalarti.
Oh, I see.
That's the point. If you're whipped by the whip of Abhiram Thakur, you want to get up for Mangalarti. How's that?
But now I'm trying to get up. Of course, it is mercy. I cannot say on my own I'm doing it. But the whip makes ecstasy automatic. So it is automatic. Can be automatic?
No, you have to accept it. Nothing's automatic. Even blessings have to be accepted. It's like the rain. When the spiritual master rains mercy down. Anyway, the material world is a blazing fire. The spiritual master causes the rain of the Lord's mercy to come. But you have to be a recipient of that rain. The spiritual master is equal to everyone like Krishna is. Samalham sarvabhuteshu namedvesho stinabhyaha. But some people accept, some people don't. So you have to accept the mercy of the whip. How do you accept mercy? Veda asked the question. Braja Leela asked the question, how do you accept the mercy? By hearing submissively and acting on what you have heard. Very easy. And giving your heart, not just doing it ritualistically, but doing whatever you're doing for the idea of pleasing the Lord from your heart. You got to have heart, as the song goes. Okay, good question. All right, I just wanted
to... But Maharaj, what about if I get 2-3 time whip instead of one? So will I be...
Then you won't be able to preach. Don't get whipped. All right, I just want to end with a funny story, okay?
Yes.
Here's a funny story showing you why you should not worship the demigods. True story. Once upon a time, there was a man and his wife. And the man was 50 years old. The wife was 40. You know, the man was 50 years older than his wife. Okay, 10 years older than the wife. And they were great devotees of Lord Shiva. And they wanted to go to Benares to worship Lord Shiva. Okay. And they were praying to Lord Shiva for blessings, praying. And Lord Shiva appeared before them. And he said, my great devotees, what do you want? First, the wife spoke. And she said, if we go to Benares, I would like to go in an air-conditioned train instead of a regular train, you know, third class. And Lord Shiva said, no problem. You have my blessings. You can go in an air-conditioned train. So then he said to the husband, what do you want? And the husband was thinking, you know, my wife's 40 years old. You know, she's quite old. And, you know, she's not so attractive anymore. So he said to Lord Shiva, I would like to have a wife that's 30 years younger than me. You know, because, you know, obviously he wanted a pretty young girl. He said, I want a wife who's 30 years younger than me. And then Lord Shiva said, okay. And then he made the guy 70. So he turned him into an old man so his wife would be 30 years younger than him. So the moral of the story, it's a good story, isn't it?
Yeah.
True story. I know the person who it happened to. So the moral of the story is don't ask any benedictions from demigods. Just approach the Supreme Lord. I mean, because that's like the story of Draupadi who asked for husbands 5 times and then she got 5 husbands. So be careful what you ask for. And just approach Krishna. So akama, sarvakama, mokshakama, daradi, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. On that happy note, all you demigod worshippers, give it up, or else you will become old men and old women in attempts to have a younger spouse. That's my blessing for all of you. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jai.